We have a number of sports that have boundaries. We have a football field that has a boundary around it. It's a certain length and a certain width, and the players are not to go outside those boundaries. We have basketball courts that have boundaries. We have soccer fields and baseball fields and various sports venues and activities that involve boundaries, and we're very familiar with that. And there will be a referee that will let you know really quick that you've stepped out of bounds. In the same way, with regard to Bible authority, God has boundaries. And so this evening, I want us to come back to our series on Bible authority and consider how this matter of boundaries is exemplified in the Word of God. In our previous lesson, we asked the question, who is in the driver's seat? Who is our authority? This evening, I want to ask the question, are we in bounds or out of bounds? I like watching those sports activities where it gets very exciting, especially like in college basketball. There's just a few seconds left and they're dribbling down the court and they kind of get put over in the corner and the guy's about to make a shot and he steps back and immediately he's out of bounds and it sort of kills the whole moment. But those refs are right there to see that. And the reason they do that is that boundaries provide order and fairness for the game. If you could just run anywhere you wanted, any time you wanted, there would be really no reason to play that game. It would be frustrating because you're trying to advance your team and the other team is not playing by the rules and it's just unfair. And so we understand the importance of boundaries. Well, in the same way, with regard to our relationship with God, the New Testament scriptures in particular are our boundaries. And we're going to see that this is even exemplified in the Old Testament. We just sang a song, ancient words, and then before that, hold to God's unchanging hand. This evening we want to talk about hold to God's unchanging word. God is unchanging. He says that in the book of Malachi. I am Jehovah, I change not. And His word does not change, and the boundaries don't change. Can you imagine trying to play a game and halfway through the game somebody changed the boundary? That would be frustrating. Not only would it be frustrating, it would just be no need to play that because how often is this going to be changed before we get done playing? You've heard that expression that's being used even in politics and other places about people changing the goalpost. Have you heard that expression? They're always changing the goalpost. Well, if the kicker goes to kick and you move the goalpost, you know, the ball's not going to go through it. It's just frustrating. It's unfair. It's not even worth playing the game. And so if God is constantly changing the boundaries, it would be frustrating for us to have a relationship with Him. So we hold to God's unchanging hand and we hold to God's unchanging word. And so we noticed in our previous lesson that God is in the driver's seat. And our authority comes from Him primarily because He's the creator of all things. He has that right and that prerogative and that privilege to demand of us how we need to live because He is the creator of all things. And that puts Him in the position to tell us how to live. But we're going to see this evening the importance of boundaries. And Lord willing, when we close this evening, I want us to see, we're going to look particularly at the book of Ephesians, that boundaries are not just simply negative things. We're going to see at the end of the lesson that boundaries are actually a blessing for our lives. It's actually a positive thing. I want us to consider this evening, then, some Old Testament and New Testament examples to show the importance of staying within the boundary of God's Word. Lord willing, in future lessons, we will talk about how to determine what those boundaries are. But this evening, let's just simply exemplify from God's Word the need for boundaries. And we're going to see that the very Word of God is that boundary. I asked Christopher if he would read 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 5, and 6, verse 6. Paul said that you might learn in us not to exceed, some versions say, not to go beyond what is written. What is written is the boundary. We cannot exceed or go beyond that. And the interesting thing about that verse is, Paul didn't say, I'm going to preach a lesson so that you can learn not to exceed what is written. He didn't say, I'm going to write an article. He said that you might learn in us, Paul and Apollos, that you might learn in us not to exceed what is written. That's interesting. We as Christians can exemplify the principle of staying within the boundary of God's Word. We can be an example of that, and you can learn by watching us the importance of staying in the Word of God. That's an interesting thought. And I know that all of us here this evening want to be that example for ourselves and others. There are people who choose to stay within the boundaries. There are other people who choose to go out of bounds, and that's our choice. God's not going to force us to stay in. But we want to be reminded this evening of having that love for God, having that reverence for God. Bob prayed about fear, respect of God, that we want to stay within the boundaries. There's a lot of people who aren't. It's tempting to follow the crowd, but we love God and we want to stay within His Word. So let's look this evening at being in bounds or out of bounds. Let's start this evening in the Old Testament. If you'll turn with me to Genesis chapter 4, we find in the Word of God that there are examples, both in the Old Testament and New Testament, of individuals who are acting within the authority of God's Word. In Genesis chapter 4, Abel offered up his sacrifice by faith. We know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. We're going to look at Cain in just a minute, his brother, who didn't stay within the boundaries, but Abel did. And out of all the things that could be sacrificed, he sacrificed that which was by faith. He sacrificed that which was by the instruction and the Word of God. Notice that Cain and Abel are family members, two brothers, sometimes in a family. I've had this happen in my own family. There are family members who want to stay within the boundaries of the Word of God. There's other family members who don't. And it's a shame that a family might be split. But we make up our mind that we're going to stay within the boundary of God's Word. You know, when Noah built the ark, the text says that he did all that God had commanded. There were measurements for that ark. There was a certain length and a certain height and a certain breadth, and there was a certain wood that was to be used. And there were various instructions about that and where to put the window and the door and that type of thing. And the text says that Noah did all that God had commanded. He built it exactly the way God wanted that built. We're told he did that by faith. He prepared an ark for the saving of his house. Notice that his house was saved by following a pattern. Notice his house was saved by staying within the boundaries of the Word of God. Had Noah built any old type of craft, they would not have been saved. We save our families by building things and staying within the boundaries of God's Word. But Noah did that. And you know, in Genesis chapter 6, with regard to God and Noah, the text says that Noah was a righteous man in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9. And the verse right before, Noah found favor in the eyes of Jehovah. There was a close relationship here, but Noah stayed within the boundaries of God's Word. There are some people that belittle details and minute types of things. And there are details in this chapter that Noah stayed within those details. We come to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, a few chapters later. He's told to leave Ur and get out of his country and go into a land that I will show you. He did that by God's authority. He did that by God's permission. He left when he was told to go. He went where he was told to go. He wasn't a perfect individual. There are times in his life where he does not do right. But we find that Abraham is such an example of faith that Paul says in Romans 4 that we are to walk in the steps of that faithful Abraham. All the way down through to offering up his son Isaac on the altar, he stayed within the boundaries of God's Word. There are individuals who do that. We've talked recently about Jericho and Ai in a recent lesson. They marched around the walls like they were supposed to. They blew the trumpets like they were supposed to. They fell in line just like they were supposed to. They did all according to what God wanted. And when you notice, and when you look there in Joshua chapter 6, the text says that God gave Jericho into the hand of the Israelites, Joshua 6:2. This was by God's grace. This is a gift. But that does not nullify the importance of following boundaries and authority. It's not one or the other, it's both. And again, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 30, this was done by faith. They stayed within the boundaries of the Word of God. In 2 Kings chapter 5, we're very familiar with the account of Naaman, the leper, being cleansed, if you'll turn with me there. This story starts off with someone who doesn't want to stay within the boundaries. He doesn't like the conditions that are placed upon him to go wash in the Jordan 7 times. He doesn't like that, and in verse 11, it said that he got angry. When God tells us what the boundaries are, initially we may not like that, but we still have to stay within that. And in verse 11, he said, I thought that there would be something else. When it comes to certain relationships in the church, we might think that there would be a better way, or we might think that God should have something else, but it's still His plan, and we have to stay within that. And when He did that, verse 14, his flesh became like a little child. He was cleansed. So, sometimes individuals initially will reject the boundaries, but they have to learn to stay within that if they want the rewards, if they want the blessings. So we have examples in the Old Testament, there are many more that we could look at, of individuals who are willing to stay within the confines of God's Word. And you'll read this a lot in your Bible, that so-and-so did according to the commandment, or did according to the Word of Jehovah. You'll read that many, many times in your Bible. Are those people somehow different from everybody else? Well, they're different in their attitude. They love God and His Word, and they're willing to stay within that. Boundaries limit. And naturally, we don't like to be limited. But if we learn early on in our relationship with God that this is best for us, and we accept that limitation, then we appreciate what God has for us. On the other hand, when you look in the Old Testament, you find that there are those individuals who don't want to stay within that boundary line. Go back to Cain and Abel in Genesis chapter 4. We'll get to Nadab and Abihu in just a minute. Come back with me to Cain and Abel in Genesis chapter 4. Cain also offered up a sacrifice, but his sacrifice was not accepted. Now, starting in this part of the lesson, I want to make a point that is very important. And you can add in Cain here. This is very important. Today in the religious world, and it's affected some brethren, the point is often made when looking at, can a person do such and such in the church? The point is often made that, are they gifted? Are they gifted to do such and such? Do they have a talent to do such and such? This is very popular today. They're not asking, is it authorized? They're asking, are they gifted? I hear this all the time. And so with regard to these next few examples, let's just ask that question. And we're going to see that it has nothing to do with being gifted. It has everything to do with, is it authorized? Today, well, if a person is gifted to play an instrument in the church, let them play it. They're gifted. If a woman is gifted to be a preacher or an elder, let her do that. And many other things. And that idea is so prevalent and popular that it has crept into the Lord's church. In 2014, a young woman graduated from David Lipscomb University in Nashville in a new preaching program that they had begun to offer for females to go through a ministerial program and get a degree and become a preacher. And she was one of the first graduates. And she went and started preaching for a Church of Christ down in Franklin. And when she did that, the Tennessean interviewed her and others about this new thing that is happening in Churches of Christ. We have this female minister now. And all of the stories, her own words and the words of others that were being interviewed at the time, they all talked about the fact that she was gifted. She said that she felt she was gifted. Others said that they believed that she was gifted. And she was. She was a good speaker. And still is, I'm sure. But it's not a matter of gifted. It's a matter of Bible authority. And that is going on a lot today. So let's just see how that works. In Genesis chapter 4, let me ask you this. In verse 3... when Cain brought his sacrifice, was Cain a gifted farmer? Oh, yeah. That guy was probably one of the best. But that's not what God wanted. God did not want the fruit of the ground. He wanted an animal sacrifice. Was Cain gifted? Yeah. Adam and Eve raised him just like they raised Abel. To have talents and to go out and do something. This guy's, he's a tiller of the ground. That takes some talent. But he did that which was unauthorized. Nadab and Abihu. We're very familiar with that lesson in Leviticus 10, 1 through 3. Let me ask you this. Were Nadab and Abihu, were they gifted? Yeah. They were fine young men with talents and gifts. And they no doubt could do many great things. But the text says that they offered up strange fire, which he, Jehovah, had not commanded them. That's the problem. And by the way, in that verse, we're beginning to see, and we'll see this later, that we have to have permission. And there's different ways in which God reveals his authority. One of those ways is straightforward, direct commands. And that's the case here. He had not commanded them this. They had no business offering that up. But were they gifted? Yes. And they're struck dead. God did not want that kind of fire. He did not authorize that. And what they offered up was out of bounds. What Cain offered up was out of bounds. And we have to learn that important lesson. Turn with me to Moses in Numbers chapter 20. Was Moses a gifted man? Absolutely. Can you imagine leading over 1 million Israelites? And all of the struggles and trials that he went through. And he said at the very beginning that I'm not a good speaker. And he went through that whole ordeal of the 10 plagues and going back and forth with Pharaoh and a lot of complaining among the Israelites. It takes a very strong leader to do that, and he is very gifted. But in Numbers chapter 20, I may have said 12 earlier, Numbers chapter 20, when he was told to speak to the rock and he struck it, he went out of bounds. And in Numbers chapter 20, verse 12, when he did that, "You believed not in me to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel." When you didn't do what I asked you to do, and you did something else, you went out of bounds. And number two, you did not set me apart as a holy God in front of these people. And that lets us know that when we stay within the boundaries of God's Word, we sanctify God. We honor Him. When we don't act, and we're outside the boundary, it's about honoring whom? Us. You know what that whole gifted thing is about? It's about us. When we focus on whether or not an individual is gifted, it's about them. It needs to be about God. And we've forgotten that in our modern culture. "You did not sanctify me when you struck the rock instead of speaking to it." But was Moses a good person? Was he a gifted person? Absolutely. But he stepped out of bounds on this occasion. And as a result, he's not allowed to go into the land of Canaan. Uzzah, we referenced him in our previous lesson. Turn back with me to 2 Samuel chapter 6. I was talking with someone after that lesson about this incident, and they were commenting about how that they were being reminded of that whole thing and that nobody was supposed to touch the ark. It was supposed to be carried on the shoulders of these men on poles, Numbers chapter 4, those of the Kohathites. And Uzzah touches it. It's good to go back and remind ourselves of these things. They had it on a new cart. That was out of bounds. It wasn't supposed to be on a new cart. And in verse 6 and 7, Uzzah put forth his hand because it was the oxen were stumbling and the ark is going to fall over. That's out of bounds. When he touched it, he was out of bounds. Let me ask you this. Was Uzzah a gifted person? Sure he was. But he was out of bounds. We've got to get back to focusing on the real criteria for doing something. It's not giftedness. It's Bible authority. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Uzziah, King Uzziah. And as we look at these Old Testament examples, you begin to see not only that someone is out of bounds, but you begin to see some of the things that are said about the person that is out of bounds. When Moses was out of bounds, he did not sanctify God. And another lesson that we're going to learn here from Uzziah is that we've got to watch our heart. In 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and verse 16, when he was strong and his heart was lifted up, so that he did corruptly, he trespassed against Jehovah his God. He's a king, for he went into the temple to burn incense upon the altar of incense. He was not authorized to do that. The king cannot do that. But I want you to notice in verse 16, when his heart was lifted up, that's another factor that comes into play. That a lot of times when we are deciding to do things in the Lord's church, rather than asking, is it authorized? Our heart is lifted up. We're excited about things. We feel good about things. We've got the money to pay for it. We've got the manpower to do it. And we just rush headlong into such and such. And we don't stop and ask ourselves, is this authorized? And this man gets lifted up and proud. And he just trudges ahead and does something. And he's going to be struck with leprosy. We have to humble ourselves and always stay within the boundaries. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of Jehovah that were valiant men. Let me stop right there and just simply say, that we need to be valiant in this matter. If someone is out of bounds, we need to go to them in love and concern and say, brother, sister, you've got to get back in bounds. And they go to him to bring him back in bounds. And they say, verse 18, the text says, they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, it pertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto Jehovah, but to the priest, the sons of Aaron that are consecrated to burn incense. You can read that back in Exodus chapter 30. It was for them, not for the king. You're out of bounds, friend. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from Jehovah God. Then Uzziah was wroth. Yeah, just like Elijah was wroth. I'm sorry, Naaman. Just like Naaman. Someone might get mad. Someone might get upset, but it's for their good. He was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. While he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy broke forth in his forehead before the priest in the house of Jehovah beside the altar of incense. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out quickly from there. Yea, himself hastened to go out, because Jehovah had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper until the day of his death. He's out of bounds. And it takes strength to stand up to somebody and say, it does not pertain to you. And in today's society, that is very hard to do, but we must be valiant and do that. Come with me to the New Testament. In the New Testament, we find those who are humble and want to honor and exalt God. It's about God. And so they want to stay within the boundaries of God's Word. I think about the seven servants in Acts chapter 6 who are given authority by the apostles to do this work of ministering and taking care of the widows in Acts chapter 6. That was something that was done by apostolic authority. They waited first until the apostles had given those instructions. I think about Peter preaching to Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. He was even hesitant at first. But when God gave him the vision and God told him to go, he realized that I have permission to go preach to the Gentiles. Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that fears him and works righteousness is acceptable to him. I want to do what God has given me permission to do. Paul going into Macedonia. There were different places where Paul wanted to travel and he was forbidden by the Spirit to go there. But then in Acts chapter 16 and verse 9, in a vision, he's told, come over into Macedonia and help us. And we concluded that God called us to preach the gospel. The reason I'm going in that direction is I've just been given permission to go in that direction. Bible authority first. These are individuals who love God and His Word and want to stay within it. When Paul told the Corinthian brethren, we're studying in 1 Corinthians, about the importance of disciplining this brother, this fornicating brother, they did that. They followed the apostolic authority and did that, and it turned out well. And when we get in our next quarter, when we get to 2 Corinthians and we're reading chapter 2, we're going to read there about love and forgiveness. It turned out great. But they stayed within the boundaries of God's Word. But then, of course, like the Old Testament, there are examples in the New Testament of people who acted without God's authority. They went out of bounds. I think of the ones that Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 7. They're saying, Lord, Lord. But they're not doing the will of my Father. And at the very end there, Jesus says, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. That's the word lawlessness. Some versions have that. You're acting without God's law. You're not staying within the boundary of God's law. And Jesus says, depart from me. That's a serious thing. So we have to stay within. And you'll notice in verse 21 and 22 that these people are religious. They're claiming great religious things. And in the world today, they're very honest and loving and kind and gentle religious people, good religious people. But they're still doing things that are lawless. So it always has to be about God's authority. In Acts chapter 15, if you'll turn with me there, there were some Jewish Christians who took it upon themselves to say, the gospel is not enough. I'm going to add to that circumcision and some other demands from the law of Moses. Turn with me to Acts chapter 15. They wanted to add to the New Testament gospel. And when they came from Judea and they came up to Antioch, Acts 15, 1, they were saying, except you be circumcised after the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. This was not optional with them. You can't be saved. You have to do this. Why did they do that? How did they do that? Who told them that they could do that? Look at verse 24. When the apostles and the elders in the church are talking about this matter, they say, for as much as we have heard that certain, that's those of verse 1, certain who went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, to whom we gave no commandment. Underscore that in your Bible. They don't have permission to do this. They're way out of bounds. And not only that, but look at verse 24. Their activity and what they're doing is troubling souls. It's not helping anybody. We're not helping anybody. When we go out of bounds and we encourage other people to go out of bounds, we're not helping anybody. They did not have apostolic permission to do that. The Corinthians, in their division, we know that they were divided. They were harboring the fornicating brother. They were taking people to court. They were not waiting one for another during the Lord's Supper in chapter 11. Some of them had stopped believing in the resurrection. These things are out of bounds. And Paul is lovingly trying to bring them back in. Do you remember we read recently, the very last verse of 1 Corinthians where Paul says, my love be with you. He loved them. He's trying to bring them back in bounds. And in that same book, in chapter 4 and verse 6, he's saying, Apollos and I are trying to show you that you might learn in us not to go beyond what is written. That's a very important principle. The Thessalonians, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6, some were walking disorderly. The word there comes from a Greek word that means soldiers marching in rank and in file, in step. They're staying just like they do out on post, just stay in a line, stay in a row, everybody stay together. The word disorderly means you're walking out of rank, you're out of line, out of file, out of step. Well, what is the rank? What's the rank and file? What is that? The Word of God. And some of you are walking outside of that. And Paul said that they are to be withdrawn from. So it's all an attitude. And I know all of us here this evening have that attitude of we want to stay within the boundaries of God's Word. We're fenced in by God's Word. Let's look at a few passages before we close. I'm going to just go down through these briefly. There are many passages in the Word of God that say that the Word of God is our boundary. It's our fence, if you will. There are several. Balaam said, I must only speak what God tells me to speak. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 7, Joshua would be blessed if he would meditate on the Word of God, if he would have that in his life each and every day. And then look at what we read in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 7. What would contribute to the success of Joshua? Only be strong and very courageous to observe, to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. Stay in the boundaries that you may have good success whithersoever you go. That's where God blesses us, staying inside the boundaries. There's so many passages in Deuteronomy that talk about do not add to or take from the Word of God. Proverbs 30, verse 6. Do not add to or take from the Word of God. What God is saying in all of these various places in the Bible is stay within the boundaries. And if you look at these Old Testament passages, they're sprinkled from beginning to end, all throughout. It wasn't just said one time. Different places. Joshua, Deuteronomy, Proverbs. Different places God is telling Israel, stay within the boundaries of God's Word. We find the same type of thing in the New Testament. We've already talked about 1 Corinthians 4, 6. Don't exceed or go beyond what is written. We're not to preach another gospel, Galatians 1, 6 through 9. We're not to go beyond the doctrine of Christ, 2 John 9 through 11. These are all Bible passages that say and teach the principle that we're fenced in by the Word of God. We're not to add to or take from. And what's interesting is one of the very last things in the Word of God, one of the very last things, is this same principle. Do not add to or take from the Word of God. All throughout the Bible. And it's a principle that God wants us to learn. Through statements and then through examples of individuals who either did that or did not do that. Well, this evening, turn with me to the book of Ephesians and we'll close with this point. We'll just spend a few moments in Ephesians and then we'll close. When you look at this matter, when I look at this matter of boundaries and when you're talking with others about this, obviously it portrays a connotation that might have a negative aspect to it. Boundaries, you know, fenced in. But even we as parents understand that. One time, Sherry and Jesse, I can't remember if I was there or not, but when she was just a toddler, we thought we would ride the city bus just for fun, ride it around town, just something to do in Corpus Christi, Texas. She was a spitfire when she was little. She's all over the place. And she got off that bus, and she was going to go around the front of the bus out in the traffic. And we had to get on her. I don't remember if I was there, Sherry did. Why did we do that? We wanted to protect her. We love her. Boundaries and limitations come from love and protection. It doesn't come from just somebody up in heaven seeing how bad can I ruin these people's lives with fences and rules. God makes us, and He knows what is best for us. And so when He puts a fence, and when He puts a boundary, He knows what's best for us. Number one, it keeps us unified. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6, what we call the seven ones that come up here, one, and we have one faith, which is one body of teaching. Why have that? It's to unify us, and unity is a good thing. That's how we make it through life, by being unified and working together. So boundaries, number one, help us to remain unified. It helps us to know who we are. Today in the 21st century, who is really a genuine Christian? I mean, there's thousands of denominations, and everybody's claiming this and claiming that. Who really is the one who is right with God and God is pleased with them? Well, it would be the ones who are willing to stay within His Word. And we can identify. We know in chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, we know who the children of light are. We know that. It helps with regard to identity. We know who the members of the body are, chapter 5, verse 30. Those who are staying within the boundaries of God's Word. Number three, fences provide blessings. And
to have boundaries and fences for our little children, and we say to them, don't go outside the yard. We say to them when they're real little, don't go outside the fence. Why? Because when you go outside, you can get hurt. You know, there's the neighborhood dog, there's cars in the street, there's other problems that happen. Don't go. When we say don't go outside, it's not just simply a matter of, well, let's see how much we can take away from a person. It's to bless them. So, when we have the New Testament that is our boundary, God's trying to bless us. Look at chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That implies boundaries. But keep reading. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment, with promise that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. Verse 3 is the blessing part, but it comes by the obedient part. And that's the same with us and our Heavenly Father. When we're obedient to our Heavenly Father, then the blessings will come. Our point is that God makes us, and He has a reason for the fences. And it's for our good. Fences are for the purpose of protection. And we know that. We know that just from our own yard. From the neighborhood pit bull that gets off his chain or whatever. Fences protect. And in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, God's trying to protect us from this character called the devil. And he is a very formidable foe. He seeks to devour. But look at it. If we will put on the whole armor of God, and that includes the fences and the boundaries, we can protect ourselves from the devil. That's a great thing. And then last of all, in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10, and I think that this is one of the most important reasons, that when we stay within the boundaries of God's Word, do you know what happens? We bring glory to God, and that's what it's about. It's not about me or you and if we're gifted or not. No. It's about God. And the glory to God comes in the church. And the church, verse 10 of chapter 3, shows the wisdom of God. And so when we stay within the boundaries and within the fence line of God's Word, and we don't trespass and go outside, we show that we really love God and glorify God. It's about Him. It's not about us. Let's stay within the boundaries of God's Word. The choice is ours. God's not going to force us. So let's have a loving and caring attitude to stay within the doctrine of Christ. If we do, there will be good consequences. John said that those who stay within the doctrine of Christ, they have both the Father and the Son. We can be in fellowship with God and Jesus. But John says that if you go beyond the doctrine of Christ, you do not have the Father. You do not have His fellowship. You do not have His approval. And you and I will hear in the end, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. We don't want that. We want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what we want to hear. So this evening, I wanted to remind us, and our next generation coming along, to remind that there are boundaries, there are fences, and let's stay within those as we build our relationship with each other and with God. One of the things that God wants us to do is to be baptized for the remission of our sins, as an erring child of God, to come back and repent and pray. Those are the things that are part of the boundaries. And if we can encourage you to do that this evening, let us do that. We're in a world that's all about going outside the boundaries. And they're going to reap the consequences of that. Let's choose the alternative and stay within and be pleasing to God. If we can help you in any way, why won't you come as we stand and sing this song of invitation.